It is the 18th day of January 2013. On the phone line with us from West Lafayette, Indiana, is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting. Good afternoon to you, Mike. I added a west to the place you live. It's actually Lafayette, Indiana, for your office. How are you doing today?
Doing great. I do feel like I'm leaning a little left today, Todd, so it's okay. Put the west in there.
Okay, that's the end of the conversation. That's funny. You're leaning to the left. That's because the wind. Because you've got to go to the west, right?
That's exactly right.
That's okay. Well, you know, the closer you come to Illinois, the happier we are here in this state. How about that?
That sounds like a good way to end it and not get me in trouble.
It's too late for that, man. Okay. So I bet one of the things that makes you happy about the marketplace today is that it looks like wheat was the leader to the upside.
Yeah, I think in percentage terms, that was exactly what we needed. And the wheat-corn spread gained about 20 cents on the week, and that was about half of what the actual March wheat did. And that wheat-corn spread was up about 43%, so it was a nice move for the wheat. And I think the trade, based upon being out part of the week, the first half of the week, and then being in the office after traveling, the second half of the week, it seemed like the conversations that I had on the phone throughout the week, the market started to migrate and move maybe more towards the idea that we're getting closer to February, and that because the issues in Russia have come to light, and you know, you're talking about 110 degrees in Australia, even though they don't have much wheat to worry about right now, you've still got some weather issues in Australia that are brewing. You've got the Argentine crop that's about sowed up as far as harvest, and it looks like it's going to come in under 10 million tons at this stage. And so I think the market has been able to put more of the pieces of the puzzle together and say, maybe this wheat is for real, especially since we're getting closer and closer to February. And I think the big piece of the puzzle came out maybe Thursday when the USDA not only gave us decent weekly export sales, but China was our number two buyer of our wheat in the weekly export sales. And then that was followed up with the National Weather Service bringing on a pretty friendly, pretty bullish, pretty dry, unfortunately, 30 and 60-day brand-new outlook.
Well, you mentioned the month of February a couple of times, and I can only assume at this point, until you correct me on this one, that you're thinking wheat needs to lead the marketplace higher to hold up corn prices in order to attract a feed grain other than wheat into the commodity markets for the 2013 season.
100% right, and I think the wheat also needs to be there for the corn market because we keep getting bad information or bad news from the ethanol industry for the most part with the two Abagonia plants reportedly shutting down now in Nebraska. The ethanol RBOB spread right now is moving in the wrong direction. When you look at the lead month February contracts, we're talking about 43 cents discount in ethanol to RBOB. As that discount narrows or ethanol becomes more expensive or less of a discount to the RBOB, that tends to decrease the blending at the refiner level. And this past week, we've seen it go from about a week and a half from about a negative 60 price to a negative 43 cent price. So I think that this is where the wheat solves quite a few bearish potential issues. And some of the people are starting to talk about, and I think rightfully so, that the South Americans are getting ready to harvest and that the soybeans could become go from maybe the leader to the upside or the demand leader to the supply leader to the downside or the supply bear. And I think that's where wheat really needs to pick it up and say, okay, I'll take charge here of the demand bullishness and the supply bullishness and give beans a break. I think that's very, very needed, especially as we get to the end of the month, Tom.
Let's ignore new crop for corn, or old crop for corn for just a bit, and talk about the new crop. December contract at 590.5. February is the crop insurance setting month. Producers will be wondering what they should do. And can you take up maybe a plan of action, if you have a plan of action, to deal with that part of the crop, maybe the 15%, you know, if they take 85% coverage, right, that might not be covered, a 15% plus some, under their contracts for crop insurance, and whether or not you think they ought to be doing something with new crop sales and coverage?
I think by the time we get to the end of the month, we should be looking really hard at getting that uninsured portion booked, and I would love to get it up around that 625 to 645 level in December futures. Get as close to the December futures or the March futures to over a $6 cash price and get that theoretical 15% locked in, because we are dealing with, and this is where the meetings are really showing this, whether I'm in Illinois or Kentucky, it doesn't matter. The producers are under the exact same worry that they've bid up cash rents. They're worried about pricing, but at the exact same time, they're worried about pricing from a standpoint of the drought not going away. And I think the only way you can answer that and fight that battle on your turf and on your level and not go to the funds or go to the markets and the headline news and all the short-term noise that we're going to be getting here through 2013, the only way you can fight that is to utilize that marketing side with the crop insurance side. And I think this is especially important when you realize the higher the February base price is, that can do as much good for you in the fall if you have a drought or if you have big yields and sharply lower prices, because you don't need a yield trigger on lower prices and big yield. You don't need that, so you just are talking about revenue. That crop insurance can become a revenue generator for you if the market is sharply lower come fall. So I think we really got to look at it on an individual level and not look at cookie-cutter type templates and just look at what you need to get secured for some of those higher cash rent levels. That's probably going to be that 15%, and get that sewed up before you get into February.
And probably a couple important notes here the kind of insurance you're talking about would be revenue protection, or RP, and by default, and I think this is correct, by default it comes with the harvest price option. You have to exclude it if you want that.
Absolutely right. Yeah, so great things to mention, because those are paramount in that working in your favor if the crop prices go down or if they go up.
And the other thing is that, and this has to be signed up for, is every farmer, according to Gary Schnittke and all the ag economists here, and I suspect across the Midwest and probably you, should take the trend adjustment. Almost every farmer. There would be a few exceptions, but not many.
I think that's a good broad brush statement to make, because it worked really well last year, and it sounds like it may be a little bit more in price this year, but it will also benefit you in terms of what kind of bushel per acre you're going to be able to cover. So I think, generally speaking, I think that's exactly right. I think the bottom line here goes back to, we have had a market that believes that the wheat supplies are going to grow, and I think we're coming into a focal point here where they're going to back away from that and wonder whether the wheat supplies are actually going to shrink, not just here in the United States, but globally as well. And you really want to tap into that. If you want to be bullish wheat between now and the next 60 days. Do your marketing in the next 60 days for your corn and beans, and then come March 1, when you get ready to plant, then readdress your marketing program and say, okay, am I too sold on paper? I can always pull those paper positions back some.
It's always fun to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Todd. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana.